Hello. Like there's something I have to do to get ready to start. Wait, let's get ready to start. All right, I'm ready. Hello, welcome everybody to Yeast Radio. Now that you've, I hope you enjoyed that grand opening, of, also known as my vagina. Speaking of grand reopenings, we have...
And, speaking of vaginas.
Speaking of, yeah, gaping holes. Gaping holes from the other side of the planet is Andy Vera Charles.
Hi.
How you doing, honey?
Oh, I'm old and bitter.
Girl. And,
I know. What a wonderful joy and pleasure it is to talk at you again, darling.
Likewise, I'm sure. I don't know why I miss talking to you. I think it's brain damage. I think it's all the fermented cheese.
It probably is. Yeah. It isn't natural. It isn't any desire. Yeah.
It's like just, lupus.
Yeah. Well, isn't everything?
Yes.
What isn't like lupus when you think about it? Come on.
Wasn't that? Remember the one who played Willis on Different Strokes that had
yes.
all the, now he before that
Todd Bridges is his
right
name.
Now before he was on that show, wasn't he? Didn't he play somebody named Loomis on Fish or something? On Fish?
I didn't watch Fish.
You didn't watch Fish with Bernice?
No. I didn't with Abe Vigoda. No, I didn't watch. I didn't even watch Barney Miller.
Barney Miller was one of those like depressing 70s shows, which I put in the same category as MASH. Like for some reason, it was I always found it really depressing. But when I watched it, I did find it extremely funny, but at the same time depressing. I really enjoyed that gigantic Chinese man with the huge square head.
Well, yeah. What didn't you find depressing, though? I think that would be a topic to delve into deeper.
Well, that's a good question.
And I have, you know, I do have several questions for you about your life changes.
I'm happy to accept those questions anytime.
Can I first, in all sincerity, say to you how incredibly proud I am of you that you
Thanks.
That you did what you talked about? I mean, you
isn't
you
that pulled weird?
It together. Yeah. Because people, you know very well, the mouths that flap with no action behind them.
Right.
So it's I'm quite in awe of you taking action.
It's part of why I felt forced to do it in a way. It really was, because I hate to be that person. And I've been talking about it for fucking years.
Yeah.
And I have done it before, you know, going to Europe, that is, for people who don't know what the fuck we're talking about. Occasionally I get a new listener who lasts about 5 minutes, and this is within that time. But I wanted to tell you before we get into all that, that on the way over here, I had an amusing time because I walked from my friend's house, who lives at almost directly across from the Moulin Rouge,
Ooh.
Which is the red light district, really.
Uh-huh.
And there's all these horror stores. Yeah, I don't normally like walk through all the stores with the sex shops, but I was daring on the way home. I felt free and liberated, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to be doing a podcast. I've got to have something to... And this guy says something to me in French. He's like, hong, 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 hong. I'm like, what? And, you know, I'm just walking by. He goes, you speak English? Well, the difference between me, Madge Weinstein in America, and Madge Weinstein in France is Madge Weinstein in America would never, ever look back and say anything to somebody who's obviously soliciting something.
Yes.
Madge Weinstein in France is delighted to have somebody who's willing to make a connection with me.
Whether it's speak English.
Right. Whether it's a Lyndon LaRouche supporter, which I have had conversations with, or even some messed up red light district pimp. So what does he say to me? You want some?
What does he say?
He says, you want some pussy, pussy, pussy.
He must have read it in your face.
And I just laughed.
Oh,
I just laughed and walked off, but it gave me a really good laugh. It really did. And then I went into a sex shop because I'm an idiot. I am an idiot. So what do? I go half a block to a sex shop because there's older-looking Russian hookers in there wearing horrible makeup. And I go in there. You want some pussy? $30 or 30 euro? 30 euros. It's like, no.
Now, I have a question. It's not
it.
Legal. It's not legal in Paris, but is it just kind of, do they just kind of look away?
I don't know. I know what I was told is they have one of these massage industries that kind of borders on. I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's kind of sort of, yeah. Mister, you know, I make you, you know, my sister. You want my sister?
Huh?
Mister, you want my sister? That kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's not legal.
I really don't know. I don't think so, but I really don't know. I mean, it's legal in other places in Europe, like in Berlin and in Amsterdam. I really don't know if it's legal here. I don't.
Okay. Where have you settled? Can you talk about where you're living now? Because I don't know.
I'm in the 12th arrondissement of Paris.
Oh, my.
Does that mean anything to you?
Well, actually, I did a many, many years ago, I did the narration on a Fine Living Channel series called Loft Living, where they went around the world and they went to loft people that built lofts. And I believe I did a segment on the 12th arrondissement of Paris.
Wow.
Yeah. Are there lofts and warehouses and shit around there?
You mean like factory kind of lofts?
Yeah, that converted into home living.
I haven't seen any, but they probably exist, I would imagine.
Okay, well, tell us more about where you're living.
Well, I live in a very small, very, very small apartment, probably less than half the size of my one-bedroom apartment in Chicago, for about the same price. I'm paying 1,200 euros a month for this little tiny box. It's furnished, though, which is good. By I want to say Mongolian, but it's not. Arab, not Arab. Yeah, Arab, but what's that thing with the Moroccan? It's okay. A nice, very nice Moroccan couple. They're so, I mean, they're like, if it wasn't for them, I don't know if I'd even be able to be in France right now because they're so nice to me. Like, they cooked me couscous. Have you ever had a landlord that cooks for you? They made me this delicious couscous for my couscous. There's only two couscous in couscous, but my couscous is the third couscous.
Yes.
And and the other day they made me pot roast. And they're so nice, but they decorate like a, oh my God. I mean, Polish people would look at it in shame. You know what I mean?
Well, okay. Why didn't you just slam across the board?
Well, my couches, they're gold lamé, and they look like Alibaba in the 40s. You know, like the genie in Bugs Bunny, that big with the big pants.
Yes,
those pants are my couch.
Oh, now are you living by yourself or do you have a roomie?
No, I'm living by myself.
Wow,
thank God, because I'm working at home, so I'm most of the time working at home. So I couldn't really live with anyone.
Well, okay, what do you do now?
I'm editing a television program for the Russians and the Iranians. So I'm working for the enemy.
But that's incredibly. So you've got gainful employment there and a place to live.
Yeah.
And you've set roots down.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
Do you think you're going to stay in Paris, or do you think you're going to move on somewhere else, or are you going to be a gypsy and a vagabond, or?
I mean, it's all, I like the work, so right now I'm staying because I like the work.
Did you find the work before you went, or did you go and then find the work?
Well, it all happened in like a weekend. It was just weird. I mean, it's really just so crazy. Because, you know, I did a program with Rachel Cann, like, I think on a particular Thursday I recorded it. And we were complaining. I'm sitting there in my sister's basement. I'm like, oh, blah, bitch, bitch. Yeah, bitch, bitch, bitch. I'll never do this thing. I'll never get to your bitch, bitch. She's like, oh, I want to go to Israel. I want to get married. Bitch, bitch, bitch. Let's go eat and have, go to bed.
Right.
The next day, literally, I'm chatting with Stacey Herbert, who does this show with Max Kaiser. For God's sake, Buy Gold.
Buy Gold.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, and I really have always wanted to work with them. And I have, worked with them in a podcasting work kind of way. I've done a little bit of freelance work for them, when they need to have a guest that's a remote guest, that sort of thing. We're in Chicago. And, Max has done a bunch of different television programs that he had a show on BBC World for a while. Right now they have two shows that they produce on television in addition to the web. One is for RT, which is Russia Today, which is this huge, huge channel that the Russian government puts out in English, 24-hour news channel, that is like CNN International, like BBC World. Like it's, there's this whole market of news channels that market just to the English language people. And
that confuses me. Why would Russia want to broadcast news
it's
in
money.
English?
Because it's a market. It's money. You have to look at it like anything else. Like, why would a Chinese company want to start, let's say, a food franchise in America? Because there's money in it. That's why.
Got it.
And the thing is, what's interesting is, because I lived in the, you know, in Europe, like 1998, and I used to watch CNN International then, and it was actually news. Now, CNN International is different. It's a different channel than what you get in the U.S. You generally don't see it in the U.S. Not to say it's better or worse, but it's not the same material. It's not the same anchors. Now, it used to be, when I was here before, that CNN International was really actually news, while whereas in you know, CNN in the U.S. was filled with a lot of crap in 98. Well, now CNN International is also a pile of shit. It's like watching Fox News. You get a bunch of snickering anchors making fun of protesters, you know, doing a lot of winking, a lot of blonde, and it's crap. But then you have Russia Today, which actually does phenomenal content. Now, they're biased. They are biased towards things that the Russian government is interested in some ways. Like, they have weird positions on, like, Syria or things like that. But when it comes to reporting in general and on the U.S., it's absolutely top-notch and phenomenal because they have actually – they do actual reporting. When something happens, they have – I mean, this is such a – it's such a novel idea, I know. But when something happens, they send reporters there to investigate and talk to people. They don't that in America anymore. They have Anderson Cooper come in to roll up his sleeves, you know, and not come out of the closet as gay, and, you know, and make a show for himself. And they interview all these experts, these crotchety people who can't shit, you know, at the right time of day. So they do in their pants, you know, these retired generals. It's not news. But so these Russians really have a good news channel going. Anyway, so it's actually, and Max has a half-hour show on. Until a few weeks ago, when I came here twice a week, they had a half-hour show twice a week, which is a produced show. So it's not the kind of show that you do like, okay, you're on, you're done, goodbye.
Yeah.
Although it is kind of for him. Stacey, you know, writes scripts and does show prep. There's guests, and of course, I edit the show, so there's a lot of post-production. So there's a lot of work involved. So they had an editor doing it, but what happened is at the end of August. On this particular Friday, Stacey, when I was just happened to be chatting with her, she said, well, she's like, oh, my goodness, Madge, because that's my name, Madge. She calls me Madge. Maddie sometimes. Mm-hmm. You can't call me that. You can't call me Madge.
No, I wouldn't. I would never dream of it. I just basically got past Ms. Weinstein.
Ms. Weinstein.
Ms. Weinstein. Why is it always Ms. Weinstein?
And so she says, well, you know, the RTV bought another show, so they want three shows a week from us. I'm like, oh, that's nice. And she, you know, throws ideas out in the air, you know, without necessarily thinking through. She's like, well, maybe you could edit. I'm like, well, I could. I'd love to, but I'm in Chicago, and I don't know if we have the bandwidth. And, you know, because there's humongous files, right? Turns out, after some discussion, I had enough bandwidth to do it from my work because I had a good connection, but she didn't have enough. And, you know, it's news, it's broadcast, there's this turnaround. It was just completely ridiculous to think that you could do that kind of show with that distance, you know.
Yes.
Because you have a two-hour, you basically need to turn a show around in 2 days maximum. Anyway, so it's not possible. So I'm like, and, you know, since I had just had this discussion with Rachel, I'm like, wow, you know, this is, like, amazing because if I had a job there, that would, like, it would be, like, lazy. First of all, you know me, I'm lazy. So give me something, put it in my face, it'll actually happen instead of me just saying, well, I'll get some paperwork together and another year goes by, boom, I'm on an ARP, you know?
Yes.
Light, and then I'm dead and I'm shitting myself just like these retired generals.
Yes.
So I'm like, so this is in my face. So I thought, you know, I'm not just going to let this sit. I'm not just going to take no for an answer. So I'm like, so the next day goes by. She's like, well, I'll talk to Max about it. And I'll get back to you. She didn't get back to me the next day, which is Saturday. Keep in mind, this is right, you know, after I talked to Rachel. So I call her, or I message her. I'm like, so what's the story? She's like, well, you know, we really need somebody here. And I'm like, oh, well, I can be there, like, within a week. When does the show start? She's like, well, we're shooting Wednesday.
Wednesday.
She said, we're shooting.
Hold on.
She said, we're shooting Wednesday. I'm like, you mean next Wednesday? Like in a few days? She's like, yeah. So I called.
You pulled your shit together that fast.
Yes. I called the airline, you know, because the good thing is about traveling with these fucking Coco Dorm is I had tons of air miles. So I got a ticket for $5.
A
ticket for $5, you know, including the mileage, of course, that was to leave the next day, no, Monday, and would get there Tuesday in order to shoot on Wednesday. And yes, I got my shit together in those 2 days.
Unreal.
And got there. And I had to fly, not only that, but it's such a shit flight because you can't just, you know, get a free ticket the day before and expect it to be a direct flight. No. So I had to fly through Dallas. And the Dallas flight was about 6 hours late because it was those fucking shitty American planes. And it was a fucking nightmare, but I fucking did it. And the really amazing thing was how I got an apartment in that short amount of time.
It stuns the fuck out of me. Yeah. But please tell us how you managed.
It's amazing. You know, I have to say there is some. I do, because being a lazy person, a lesbian, I am required to rely on things happening for me, and I look for signs. And when something happens easily, that means it's a sign, and I should pay attention to it.
Yes.
So I said to Stacey, I'm like, look, I'll pay for the ticket. I want to do this. I'm like, I will do what I have to. I really want to try this. I said, we'll try one show. If you don't like me, that's fine. Fire me. I'll leave. She's like, but I feel really bad. You know, I'm bringing you out here. I'm like, look, it's business. Don't worry about it. Seriously, the worst thing you could do is if you don't like my work, to keep me. If you don't like it, I'd be happy to go away. And I've got to, and then I'm in Europe. I'll hang out for a couple of weeks. Everything's good.
Yep.
You know, I really was like really pushing. I don't do that.
But I know.
But so I said, the one thing I do need, though, is a place to stay. And, you know, Hirsch is like, she was on it because the last thing she's going to do is let me stay at her house. Like, are you kidding me? So she checks. And this woman.
The problems with the toilet alone would be hell.
Exactly. Well, this woman, I mean, Stacey is one of these people that you just marvel at because she's so together in terms of being a work, just being able to work and manage 20 tasks at once. I mean, this is the type of person that's like, this must be how like Oprah operates, like somebody who can accomplish all these things at the same time and get things done. And the worst part is, of course, expecting that other people can do it too, which, of course, certainly I can't. But anyway, so she had within a couple hours a couple apartment listings for me from Craigslist. And I had just been looking for apartments on Craigslist in Amsterdam, and every single one of them was bullshit, was like a scam. You know, a total scam. So I just expect it to be a scam. Well, I found this guy. He is from one of the guys, and he's from Morocco. And he just says, okay, well, let's talk on the phone. I call him. He's, first of all, fluent in English because he used to live in America. He says, you know, I'm talking to these people about the apartment right now. Let me call you back in a half hour because I'm not sure if they want it. He calls me back in a half hour. He says, you know, okay, so these people aren't sure if they want the apartment. They're going to let me know tomorrow. If you can tell me right now that you want the apartment, you can have it. I said, okay, I want it. He said, okay. He said, okay, my wife will meet you here when you get here on Tuesday. Send me your picture.
And I said, send me your picture?
Yeah. So I know who. So I said, well, don't you want money? He's like, we'll worry about it later.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, well, this is weird. But what do I have to lose? You know, this
your
isn't
picture.
The, right. This isn't the way scams work. Because scams work, it's like they tell you to wire me the money. You know,
right.
I know scams. I understand how they work. So I'm like, okay. And so when I got here, you know, it was too late for his wife because the plane was 6 hours late. So they left the key for me.
Oh, my God.
Under the door, I believe. Yeah. Under the door, I think that's what it was. Well, I don't remember, but they left the key for me somehow. And I didn't actually connect with the guy for a week to pay the rent. So I lived here for a week before he even came to get the rent.
Unreal.
Yeah.
That is just unreal. And also, it, you know, it falls into that category of, God, this seems like it's meant to be. To have something to go that easy and without problem.
And it's furnished.
It's furnished with Bugs Bunny pants.
Yes. And the 40 Thieves.
That's just incredible.
It's
to
weird.
Me,
it's an odd story, and it really is incredible because it's just
now
weird.
Because you're you. Were you waiting for the hammer to fall because things were going too well?
Or did you
even go there? Okay, you still are.
The hammer. You know, the hammer fell a long time ago in the form of me coming out of my mother's vagina. I mean, let's face it. That was the hammer.
Well, that was the hammer on your poor mother.
The hammer did fall. The hammer, I mean, to be perfectly honest, this entire existence, this whole trip really is one giant hammer. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Because what happens is, you know, I had romanticized it.
Yes, I wanted to get into that.
Oh, yes, we can go there. I mean, I'm okay. Happy to answer a question. I went through that whole thing, so you may continue doing what you wanted to do.
Well, I was just wondering if, you know, you haven't been there long enough, I think, to really form massive opinions, but knowing you, you've already formed several. But it's kind of like, is it the grass is always greener syndrome? Are there as many idiots, as many problems, as many disgusting governmental things, as many, all of the things that you hated and hate, and rightly so, about America? Doesn't it just exist there too?
No,
I mean, No,
I don't think so. I mean, tell
us about that.
Okay, the part that is very that I romanticized, it's not that. That's
okay.
That's the part I romanticized is that there's no way. It's kind of like and I'll answer your question, but just there's no way to. It's like, okay, you're sick. Let's say you're sick. You know how when you're sick, if you're really sick, it fucking sucks.
Yes.
And it's so bad that when you're healthy, you don't appreciate how to be healthy because you forget how awful it feels to be sick. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
Like, it's just different when you're in it. Well, it's the same type of thing when you're in a foreign country and you really don't know anybody except maybe the people you work for and a couple other people that you barely know.
Yeah.
That feeling of isolation is extremely difficult to deal with.
I can't imagine the loneliness.
Especially when my dog is not here with me.
I was going to ask where Trotsky is, but that I didn't know if it was hurtful to bring him up.
Well, it is, but not because of that. But, I mean, he's with my sister. I trained them during all that time, which is part of why it went well. Because, you know, when I first moved in with my sister, I wouldn't even let them watch him for an hour because I was so, you know, but by the time I left, I had trained them.
Is that going to be his permanent home?
Well,
or is he going to come with you?
I would like him to come with me, but honestly, I got permission. Part of what I've accomplished in the past couple months of being here is that I've got my landlord's permission to allow him. My dog is allowed to be here.
Wow, that's terrific too.
The problem is they don't want him to leave in Chicago.
Your sister doesn't want him to go?
Right.
He's become a member of the family?
Yeah, and the kids have really bonded with him, and it's really
that's a whole nother kettle of worms.
Yeah, but it's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing because when I talk to Trotsky. I talk to them once a week on the iPad, you know, with the video phone thing. And he doesn't give a flying fuck about me. All he does is chase the ball. He's happy. He's chasing the ball. I say, "Hi, Trotsky," and I just feel like an idiot. He doesn't care. He's happy. This is a good thing.
That's all that matters.
I miss
if
him.
He's happy.
It's terrible, but enough about me. That's all I care about anyway. Who cares? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Enough of that.
If he's happy. Yeah. Now, going back to what you were talking about, though, the isolation.
Yeah.
Is there an opportunity for you to make friendships and to garner a group that will be supportive of you around there? Or?
Yeah, I'm working on it. It's happening. And I've had visitors. You know, this week I had a visitor from Amsterdam. This weekend I've got a visitor coming from London. And then Bicycle Mark is coming later in the month for like 5 days, I think. So
do you miss anything about America?
Yeah, I miss my family. I miss my friends. What I miss is the gym and I miss the yoga because they don't fucking the quality of the gyms and the like yoga stuff here. It's just fucking awful. And for the money they charge, it's ridiculous. That's one of the biggest problems for me here, honestly.
Now, isn't it true that everybody walks and is in pretty good shape, or is that
okay? I will tell you the big myth. The
okay.
big myth is what you
the
just
big
said.
Myth.
The
yes.
big myth is what you just said. The truth is, franorexia. These people are fucking vain and franorexic, and all they think about is how fucking fat they are, so they diet constantly.
Really?
Yes.
With that kind of food? Now, do you think that's just Paris, Madge? Do you think
it's because
it's a big cosmopolitan Paris as opposed to the rest of France where maybe it's just a city-fied kind of thing?
There's nobody fat here.
Well, our next-door neighbors are French.
Yeah.
They're expats. They're French expats.
Yeah.
And the husband is absolutely bone thin. Yeah. She's a little rounder. Yeah. But also, you know, we've been over to dinner several times with them, and I've seen what he puts on his plate, and it's just a, you know, like a little tablespoonful of this and a tablespoonful of that, and he's done.
Yeah.
Is that cultural?
I don't know. But he's probably vain. He probably is afraid of looking fat. Based on what I've seen, based on the people I've talked to, yeah, they're fucking, it's just fucking anorexia. These people are vain as fuck about their appearance. All they care about is how they look and how they dress. And they're mad for their appearance. And this is the part, I was talking to this friend of mine I had dinner with tonight, because she's, you know, half French, half American. She grew up here, and I've known her for years. And, but that's what she was saying. She's like, yeah. She's like, the thing is here is you really have to dress a certain way. And these people here care about appearance. And if not, you're going to look like an American. And I told her, I said, you know, but the thing is, this is where I identify as an American, because I don't fucking care.
Right.
I'm not going to dress like I'm not going to dress up to walk down the street, which is what these people do. They dress to do everything, to work out. You know, and I find that frustrating, because I don't want to assimilate in that regard. I may have to eventually, but you know.
What about living in a out of the city and then maybe commuting or something like that? Is that ever a possibility?
Oh my God,
that
would be even worse.
As far as isolation is concerned,
I would never even consider that.
Okay,
I mean, so Paris, it's a beautiful city. It's wonderful. And blah blah blah. I mean, I'm telling you the bad points, because I am Madge Weinstein.
Yes, I know that. And God forbid you would be positive. We understand that. We knew that coming in, Madge. Yeah. We're totally responsible.
You and your carpool.
Uh-huh. So as far as now, you're going to touch on governmental stuff and uh-huh. it's better. And
Well, I mean, you got to realize it's really hard for me to generalize in the situation where I'm kind of in a bubble right now, because I don't speak French. I only see.
How is that going? Oh. I mean, do you speak at any at all, or is it just?
I get
miserable?
Scolded a lot. I probably spoke more before I got here, because I get so discouraged, because I get so nervous. Like, I went and I had a cold from this disgusting yoga class I went to, where everything smelled like fucking feet. Everything smelled like God. Finally, find a yoga studio. They charge 20 euros, which is like $30. The place smells like goddamn feet. They give you a mat, because I didn't have a mat. The mat was filthy and smelled like feet. And then like three or four days later, I had this fucking awful chest cold that I had to go to the doctor for. It was so fucking bad.
Oh,
and I know it's
God.
From this fucking disgusting vial. What was the question?
I don't remember. I think I was asking you about...
feet?
Shit, what did I ask? I wasn't talking about feet.
Oh, the politics or something.
Yeah, I was. If what the fuck does that have to do with it? You said you're in a bubble.
So
we went from governmental policy to feet. Uh-huh.
I don't know, but anyway, I'm in a bubble. My contact with humanity is quite limited. But what I can tell you is just how my own perspective changes being here. And when you take yourself, even if you think you're not watching the news, even if you think you're not looking at the paper, you still see it. You still see it when you pass it by and you see the headlines with something ridiculous.
And your friends are talking about it.
Yeah.
And you see it on Twitter and everywhere
else.
Well,
but that I still get. So that's, you know, I can't get away from the Twitter and stuff, and I still see it on the web. But there's something different about not being as submerged in that kind of American. I mean, there is just this whole level of propaganda that you can't help but be oblivious to when you're in America, even if you're the most critical thinker.
Right.
It's just, you can't. There's just a base level of noise that when you're soaking in it, it's really hard to observe and be critical of. And that's what I think is different. And, like, you know, you talked about on Twitter sheets, you know, how you're like, Madge, why do you care what's going on with the president or whatever when you're fucking left? Big deal. Well, I have my friend Laura, who I saw tonight, she mentioned something like, she's like, I'm really worried. And she lives here, obviously, with her beautiful French children. And before that, she lived in Canada. But she's never lived in the U.S., at least, except for maybe a month in an internship. She said, I'm really worried about this, Rick Perry. I said, why? She said, because what you guys do over there, it affects us. It always ends up affecting us. Like, look at Bush. You know, we ruined this fucking planet.
Ugh, God, yes.
Anyway, so But as far as the politics, it's really nothing like what's over there. Nothing's like the U.S.
Do they hate Americans as much as we believe they hate us, or is that?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Do you get a lot of anti-American feeling in Paris?
Not at all.
Okay, so that's another myth.
I think people hate me.
Well, that one is you've been stating the obvious an awful lot during this book.
I get scolded every. I mean, if I don't get a good scolding, I know I didn't wake up.
And in what ways do you get scolded?
Today I had a wonderful scolding, and I went. it's terrible because I fear things. Like sometimes I just want to get something to eat. This is something you take for granted.
It's scary.
It's scary as fuck. Because I know I'm going to get scolded if I don't do it right, and I won't do it right. Oh, okay. Wait, we were at the now I remember why I brought up the feet.
Okay.
We're talking about French and how I haven't been able to learn. So I had the cold with the feet. I wanted decongestion before I went to the doctor. So I look up this thing on the goddamn Google Voice. We have all this shit, or Google Twitter. All this Google Translate.
Translate.
It tells
yeah.
me how to say I need a decongestant. I practiced it for about 10 minutes in my apartment, went downstairs with the iPhone, and I said, hon, 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 whatever it was. Hon, 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 hon. This lady looked at me like I'm a fucking crazy person. I'm like, hon, 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 hon. Then I show her the phone. She's like, oh, okay.
Oh, dear.
So it's like all these experiences, all they do is reinforce me not speaking French because I get so traumatized. So anyway, so today I go and I want this fucking sandwich. I go to four different stores, and each one I was like, they put too many fucking condiments on the shit. And I don't know how to talk. So
what
I don't.
Kind of before you go, what kind ones. Of condiments they put on?
Just the usual shit. Like, they just put too much mayonnaise on, mainly.
Okay.
When I get a sandwich that's like in a. I don't want fucking liquid shit on it.
Okay.
And I just don't. And I don't want tomatoes. They're gushy and disgusting. I don't really like tomatoes unless they're really good tomatoes. I'm weird that way. Lettuce, okay. Mustard, okay, a little bit. But they put too much fucking condiment on this shit, and they stick it in a plastic bag so it gets a little mushy. So, yeah, a normal French...
And you look up on the side on Google Translate, and it just doesn't make any sense. Uh-huh.
A normal French person, or even probably a non-crazy American person, could just say, look, I would like one of these without the fucking mayonnaise. I could do... I don't do that. So I just go to different stores until I see one that doesn't look like it has that much mayonnaise.
Because you're afraid of getting scolded.
So what happens? I get scolded anyway because they have a bunch of these sandwiches all laid out and nothing to pick them up with. So I grab it with my hands.
Uh-oh.
This fucking bitch looked at me like I had just killed her fucking dog. Bon, 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 papier. I knew she said paper. Uh-huh. I'm like,
America. Yeah.
I go, no, I mean, I know what she was thinking. She wasn't just thinking America. She was thinking... See, they're very classist here. And she was thinking, day class A. You know, she's like, bad manners person. Doesn't matter if you're American. Bad manners. I'm going to scold. So what I don't understand, the irony. Okay, so somebody's dealing. You find somebody in your little store clerk, your little domain, because you're so fucking important, who exhibits bad manners. So the way you would deal with that is through your own bad manners, by being mean to them. Like,
right.
So she's like, blah, 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 papier. So she's like, she looked so startled. Like when she saw me hold. Huh?
Madge, it's papier, not papier. It's papier.
See, you're doing it too. Now you're scolding me. You're not even fucking French. Papier. Whatever she said.
Papier mâché head. What is it? Papier mâché.
Yes. That's you, papier mâché.
Yeah. Uh huh. What is the stupid line from Phantom?
A papier-mâché musical box in the shape of a barrel organ.
Of a barrel organ. Thank you. Yes. Okay. I am the papier-mâché head.
Finally, you admit it.
Yes, I do. Well, no, it's polymer clay, and you've held it in your hand.
No
so
one
you
cares.
Can't dispute that.
No one cares.
No, I know. No one's going to give a fuck that I'm on this show either. So back to the lady screaming at you, papier.
But the look, the gasp, I think it must have been an audible gasp. And I think she touched her chest just when she saw me holding the sandwich with my bare hands. It was like,
you're
going to
eat it anyway.
Papier. Yeah. And I didn't touch anybody else's fucking sandwich. And it's France, and they're fucking nasty. They don't give you napkins anyway. Everybody wipes their fucking hands in their pants. Don't give me any, you know what I mean? But it was like I was going against protocol. So
go ahead.
So she sticks the goddamn thing in a bag for me, and then she hands it to me. I'm like, good. Then I pay. I attempt to pay, and then she frenches at me some more. And I knew it was a number. She wanted exact change. When they want to scold you, they want to fuck with you, they demand exact change, knowing perfectly well you don't have it or you would have given it to them in the fucking first place. So I hand her a 50-cent piece, and she rolls her eyes at me like,
oh, my God.
I said, merci.
Merci. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. A biento.
Yeah. Fucking cunt. That's just okay. That's a typical exchange for me.
So, well, I can understand why you'd have a little bit of anxiety about doing whatever you need to do, and let alone buying anything that might be considered provocative.
Oh, my God. And the other day, and I Facebooked about this. But I ordered a goddamn steak and fries, which is what French fucking people eat, and they gave me a sausage made out of dead fucking gerbils.
They gave you a sausage instead of a steak.
I ordered entrecote, I think, and they gave me andouillette, which is
maybe it was your shitty accent,
which is chitlins, stomachs and intestines. Wednesday.
Hold on. Here's your chitlins.
And I ate it. And I ate it anyway.
Oh, because you didn't want to get scolded?
Yes.
And God forbid you send it back.
And I was with somebody.
Oh. It happened. That makes me sad for you.
Thank you. It happened to me once when I was here with my mother like 15 years ago. Because for some reason, I keep coming back to fucking France. It's like I keep doing it. And that's the weird thing.
You mean you have self-destructive behaviors? Is that what you're trying to tell?
I have spent months here. I've spent weeks and weeks at times by myself, and I keep coming back. I'll stay at friends' houses. Yeah.
And you keep saying papier instead of papier.
And every time, it's the same goddamn thing. But I had the experience with my mother, and I'm like, oh, my God, Mom, I can't eat this fucking disgusting thing. And she told them I don't want it. The chef was so offended. He came there, sat down next to me, and ate my sausage sitting next to me.
You're shitting me.
No. I know. It was shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now, I'm really curious about the French food, though. Is this another myth that the French food is phenomenal?
It is absolutely amazingly delicious, but that fucking don't eat the
intestine. If you order the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, like the stuff you get in the grocery store, like the cheese and the pâté and just the bread that you get fresh every single day at the bakery for less than a dollar or a euro is fucking phenomenal. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm told that Italian food is good in Italy. I haven't really experienced that except once. But I've never been up to a place where the food is so consistently good. I mean, the pastries are just so good. I was at this bakery that I walked by on the way back from work and eating this I took it also on my Facebook, some delicious cherry thing with cheese, like a mascarpone kind of thing, and this crust was just buttery, and every single bite was like, I felt like I was eating the most delicious thing I've ever had of all categories of food ever. It was so good.
The thing that would drag my fat ass to Paris would be the food, because I'm telling you something, I certainly don't want the attitude or the smell or the BO, but I do, God, I'd want to just experience that food.
Yeah, it's good. And the way I really like that their lifestyle of, they just go to cafes for hours and just sit there, which I like, because I don't like to be rushed.
Right.
I'm not one of these people who likes to go to a restaurant, order, and leave, which most people I know are.
That's the American way.
Right. But these people, you go to a cafe, you sit there, they'll leave you alone for an hour. You know? Which a lot of people think that sucks because they never ask you if you want anything. But I think it's great because it's like free real estate.
And also, it's probably, you know, they're not considering it as being unattentive. They're considering it very likely as being that's the way people prefer to dine, to be left alone until they're needed.
Yeah, so that's good.
Oh, I just want that food.
It's so good.
Okay, so what do you feel like? We talked about the government, and do you feel like I asked this before, but I kind of didn't really get an answer. Do you feel like you're going to plant your roots there? Do you feel like that's your destination?
I don't feel like that today.
Yeah. Today's a bad day. Did you get scolded today?
No. I don't mean today. Yeah, I did. But I don't mean today literally. I mean today, like right now.
All right. Then I have another question. How happy are you that you are free from porn and the Cocoa Dorm.
Well, that's funny because you're making an assumption, which you shouldn't have made. Because well, I'm not.
I was going to say it wouldn't be the first time that I assumed something. So you're still working for them.
I am. I'm doing a minimum amount of. The thing is.
In Paris, you're shooting this.
No, I'm just doing some editing here for this one and the fucking sleeping fat guys. But the thing is, it's very, very, very expensive to live here. And I would really like to not have to do this. But at the moment, I still do.
I gotcha.
It's
okay.
Just fucking outrageous. This is an expensive city. A lot of people want to live here, and it's very expensive, and you spend a lot of money to get very little.
And what is it? Is it just like food and everything. Stuff like that's expensive? What do you mean everything? I know that your rent is 1,200 euros. What is that in American money?
Well, I think it's like 1,700, I think, dollars.
$1,700 for a one-bedroom little place? Is that what it is?
It's one-bedroom, but it's nothing like a one-bedroom. It's if it were in L.A., because I did look at some apartments in L.A., it would probably be about $700
or $800. Oh, okay. So it's itty-bitty.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You're paying for your food. You don't have gas money because you don't have...
No, I have to pay for gas, too. That's expensive as well. It's like $100, 100 euros a month.
For the heating. You're talking about
heating electricity. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about gas. You don't have a car, so you don't need gas for a car.
No, and that's one thing that's really good is the transportation, because they have this very unique bicycle sharing system, and it's so cheap. So you pay.
Oh, it's like that car you used to rent,
right?
The weird thing in
Zipcar.
Chicago, the Zipcar.
But this is much cheaper.
Bicycles.
This is they have these bike racks everywhere, and you pay 40 euros a year. A year.
Oh, wow.
And they give you a card, and the card gives you unlimited use as many times as you want, as long as your trips aren't more than 45 minutes.
How do they police that?
It's all automated. They have, it's all, there's special racks with, magnetic thingamajiggies, and it's all computerized.
Oh, so
you're
sliding your card and stuff?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I see. So you get around on bicycle?
Most of the time where I walk, and the last resort is the train. I don't take the train more than once or twice a week because I just don't like it. It's too crowded.
Well, that's good for your health and your weight and your all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So do you think you can you – do you feel like your perspective on – the realities of this country and other countries and the world in general, do you think your perspective has shifted into...
I think it's improving.
Is it clearer?
I think it's healing, I would describe it.
Yeah, this is a very toxic environment.
Right, it's healing because I think so much of... And this is why I was romanticizing living in Europe so much. It's just... It's really... It warps you to live there.
It does. If you allow it to.
But I really think I tried pretty hard not to. And
well, what you did is different, very different from me.
Yeah.
Is what you did is you got very, very informed and very involved, mm-hmm. and invested so much of yourself and your anger and your emotion into what's going on. And I'm not saying, once again, this is not judgment. I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
I do not do that.
Right.
I don't invest myself, and I'm healthier for it because mm-hmm. I can't invest myself in the hell that is running this country now and running it into the ground.
But something about my personality, I need to. It's
right.
What keeps me going. That's why I still bitch about things in Paris that have nothing to do with positive. I need to keep complaining. That's what keeps me going. And a lot of people don't understand that's not a sign of me being depressed, And that's what I can't seem to get through to a lot of people. That's a sign of mental health for me. If I can complain, that's mm-hmm. good, because that means I'm mentally working. It's working.
Right. Right.
If I'm just here saying, oh, wow, I had a, blah, it's great, everything's fine. It means I took my pills and everything's good and I'm ignoring life. I'm not into that. That's not me.
No, you're a born activist. But what's sad is you're too lazy for it. So you're basically a lazy activist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
That's what Studs Terkel calls what he used to say is Yeah, an atheist is a no. An agnostic is a cowardly atheist.
Exactly.
I need a word for that.
Mm-hmm.
A lazy activist. What is that? Lesbian. Lesbian.
A lesbian will work.
Yeah.
So another thing I want to talk about, which has nothing to do with Paris at all, is and I'd never approach this anywhere but here with you, is I was absolutely disgusted and appalled by the wailing and gnashing of teeth when the god of Apple died.
Oh, okay.
I could not fucking believe everybody's just like this Jesus Christ died.
But then there was also the opposite backlash at the same time.
Which was what?
There were a lot of people that were – I mean, there were a lot of people, at least on my social networky stuff, saying like, fuck Steve Jobs. He was an asshole. You know?
And oh, see, like, I didn't see any of that.
Oh, see, I saw both.
Okay.
You know.
All I saw was just posting after posting of, oh, rest in peace, oh, what he gave to us. And what, and I'm thinking, he didn't give anything to you. You know what he gave to you? He gave to you filling up his pockets. That's what he fucking gave to
you. I got an iPad. And
Well, you know what? I'm not just anybody that's an industrialist is not interested in the altruistic view of fulfilling society's needs. They're concerned about filling their pockets.
You know, I see this one both ways, because the thing is, for me, I like his devices because I have them, and I don't own anything, but I own all of that shit.
Right.
And I like that shit. At the same time, I know he's an asshole, a big asshole, a big jerk, mean to a lot of, really fucking mean to a lot of people. He was really mean. Yes. Didn't deny it. You can read his biography. He'll admit it. China. Yeah, gave all the jobs to China. I get really pissed off when I see all these fucking stores opening in China, and he fucking gave our economy to them. Sucks. Mm-hmm. Bad. Yeah, good stuff, too. I really like the devices. But anyway, but I was saddened by his death because as a public figure, he was often a subject of thought for me. I thought about him. I watched his keynotes and all that shit. I certainly spent a lot of time complaining about him. I wrote him plenty of emails, believe me, complaining about shit. Not one got responded to. You know, my boss at Podshow talked to him. I was invested in him in one way or another. And when he died, I felt bad mostly because of I just don't like death. Troy Davis, the guy that got executed so unjustly a week before, I felt horrible for him, too. It was the same kind of thing. I just thought, wow, how horrible that somebody who really has achieved a lot, who dies at 56, I thought it was tragic. And pancreatic cancer, such a horrible, horrible death, because my grandmother died from it. I was with her, you know, when she died from that. And I thought, this is just so, how tragic is that? And how tragic that you can be a zillion billionaire and you can't not die from this disease at 56, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's really the stuff that, and so I identify with. I didn't read. Actually, I did. I shouldn't say that. I read a lot of the obituaries, and a lot of them were a lot more honest than you would think. But as far as the stupid blog posts of the idiots here and there, I don't read that shit. You know, talking about it. I don't care, but I don't know. But it did affect me though.
The first picture that came out of him he was standing with someone and he was just emaciated and horrible looking. I posted that picture with a caption that I wrote, the universe giveth and the universe taketh away. But what I was really trying to say in that is what you just said a little while ago, and that we all know that, you know, that death and illness and all that shit affects everybody. But when you see it affect someone that is almost superhuman in some ways, it is a little more shattering than the neighbor next door dying or a bum on the street dying. There is a more profound sense to it, and I felt horrible. I mean, I know nothing of this man, truly know nothing, but when I saw his photograph of the illness had done to him, my heart went out to him just because he's a human being.
Right, exactly.
Nobody should suffer that. Well, that's not true, because some assholes really should, but it seems that the assholes never do. The assholes seem to go on forever and have some kind of Teflon coating. I mean, I would love, well, I shouldn't say this because it's really wrong to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. If I saw a picture of Donald Trump completely emaciated and dying of pancreatic cancer, I don't think I'd feel real bad, because to me, Trump is just absolutely the bottom of the barrel of the human race. And if something horrible happened to him, I'd be like, you know what? Good. It couldn't have happened to a nicer person. But
I can't say I ever felt bad about Ronald Reagan being all squished up.
Never. Did you happen to see a little tangent here? I don't even know what the photo. Oh, it was the photograph of another one of these fucking GOP either. What did they call when they debate one another? It was either a debate or I don't know what it was.
Pissing contest.
Pissing contest. But it was a bunch of these GOP idiots, and above them was this huge screen. And on the screen was this gigantic photograph of Reagan. And Gooch looked at it, and he showed it to me, and he said, it's like that's church, and there's the fucking deity above their head. Yeah. They're
morons. The biggest problem is that fucking Perry, what's his name, Rick Perry?
Rick Perry
looks like Reagan, and that's a problem.
He's also, if you notice, he's getting the characteristics down of the little head wobble.
Yes.
Well, that you know good and goddamn well that's intentional.
Absolutely.
You know that he's being coached to do that.
I haven't seen anybody call him out on it, though, have you?
No. But, you know, I'm hoping, you know, as time goes by, but who knows? Who the fuck knows? We could end up with goddamn Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin on the same ticket.
Well,
you know?
I am just back to this place where I place firm blame in the American people for this.
Oh, I'm right. I'm so with you on that.
I had this. I was not a discussion, but some sort of thread on the computer thing, the computer, with John Kobach, who listens to both of our shows. But he, you know, we both identified the same categories, but he sees them as he treats them differently. Like, he views the people, the Republican morons, basically. You know, the Bible Belt types who are fucking dirt poor, they're on welfare, but they vote. They're vehement Republicans. He feels sorry for them because they're victims of Fox News. And he thinks the rich people, the millionaires who are Republicans, are the evil ones. I feel the opposite. I think that the multimillionaires who are Republicans are probably smart to be Republican because that's how they keep their money. And I think the fucking idiots who are dirt poor and vote Republican are the fucking morons. And if anybody's going to be evil, it's fucking them.
I see the point of feeling bad for the, you know, the swallowing Fox News whole. But I'll tell you something. I'm with you on the fact that America is a country of fat, lazy people.
Yeah.
And people that don't want to be informed. They want the information fed to them. And they also want status quo. And so what they are thrown by these GOP assholes is a concept of status quo that they think will keep their, you know, their values secure, marriage will be safe, abortion won't be rampant, all of those things. But what they don't realize is fiscally they're doing what you just said. Fiscally, they are committing fucking suicide, and they don't even know it. They don't know it.
And, you know, what Stacey was pointing out to me, too, is that by far the red states are the ones that abuse welfare. And all the social programs.
It once again, your wanting to get the fuck out of here was something that I completely and totally understood and agreed with, because it's the main reason that I don't get in deeply into what is going on, because it is so revolting and it is so disheartening and it is so bleak. The picture is so bleak that I can't.
I've thought a lot about this since we've had these initial discussions on Eat This Hot Show about that position of yours where you don't vote. And I know you have voted since then, but that you don't vote.
You made me.
Right. Okay. But I think I've changed my opinion somewhat about that because, you know, especially having read some of this anarchist literature. But the thing is, voting is one thing. And it's deceptive. It really is deceptive to think that there's just so many fucking people out there who think all they have to do is vote and then they're done and they don't have to do anything else.
Right.
You know, but it's much more effective if you don't vote and take direct action in your life. And I think you do take direct action.
I do.
I mean, just by espousing your opinions on a podcast is more direct action than most voters take. So I think you can tell people that tell you that if you're not voting, you have no right to complain. You can pretty much tell them to go fuck themselves.
Well, I have been doing that anyway.
Yeah, I know.
I don't. I have a right to complain about anything that I want to complain about. I have that inherent right to complain about the political scene, the political climate. By virtue of the fact that I was born in this country, I have that right to complain. So that is never. That is never an argument. I always get the argument that you must vote, and you know my argument is that my one vote won't blah blah fucking blah. We've been over that so many billions of times.
Yeah.
But once again, I will go back to what we talked about a lot on Eat This Hot Show about as far as what I do in order to maintain my sanity. You, in order to maintain your sanity, got the fuck out of this country,
and I complain.
And yes, you complain,
but
it was a huge step, though. It was a huge step, Madge, to get the fuck out of this country because this country was holding you underwater. It was drowning you.
Well,
and so you took that step. What I have to do in order to keep from drowning is I have to make what I've said many times is my immediate world, my immediate interactions, my immediate life, something that is decent, tolerable, and productive. Yeah. That's the way I survive. And that's the only way I can survive.
Well, you also have a relationship, so you have the luxury of being able to do that, you know? If I did that, what would I do? You know what I mean? I don't have anything to do that in.
Well,
I have my dog, but this is not enough. It's easier when you have another person to do that, I think.
But please, if you want to talk about the fact that I would be long dead had it not been for Gooch. For many, many reasons, let alone the fact that I used to live at the baths before him, so it eventually would have caught up with me. Mm-hmm. But having that relationship, having that support system, having someone stand by you in your beliefs is incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
But also, I think, and speaking up, and my dog just came in. And also, I think that
that. Which one?
Howard, you met both of them, right?
Yeah.
Did you meet both of them? Oh, yeah. Okay. I can't remember if we had Howard when you were here. Howard, who's getting better every day.
I was
day.
Surprised when you posted one of the Eunice vagina on your Facebook. That was very out of character and very much in character for me. I don't know what the fuck you did that for.
Yeah, Eunice, but no, I posted Howard's empty sack.
Oh, is that what that was? I thought it was a girl's vagina.
No, it was Howard's because we got him fixed and now has his empty sack. He's so precious. But anyway, you know, just the way I interact with the world is in my immediate world is what keeps me not looking at the big picture, because if I look at that big picture, it's tragically disheartening. What hope is there? It's a spiral.
You know what hope there is? I'll tell you. This is the hope. None. The hope has never been more evident in my memory than yesterday when we had people marching in cities all over the country in America.
Oh, yes.
From Boise, even, God knows where, all over the country, Occupy Wall Street, all these heroic people getting arrested and beat up by cops. And what happens in the fucking Senate? This motion, this bill to spend half a trillion dollars to create jobs and paid for solely by increasing the income tax on people who make over $1 million, only those people, by 5.6%, was not voted, was defeated.
Uh-huh.
Because even though Democrats have a majority in the Senate, was defeated because two Democrats wouldn't vote for it and not a single Republican voted for this because they said it's class war. When you have people marching in the streets, marching in the streets because the income wealth is so incredibly obviously distributed, fucked up, that that rich people are taking all this money and it's being encouraged by the government, that you have the fucking government that same day, that same period of time, saying, no, we're not going to spend money on jobs to help you people. I mean, it's let them eat cake times 1,000. That's exactly what it is. It's totally Marie Antoinette. To do that is such – it's just saying kill us. And now did you notice you probably didn't, but the protesters in New York are now going to the homes of the CEOs.
I heard about that.
Mm-hmm. And, I've been paying attention to stuff. I was at Versailles like 2 weeks ago with these queens. This is interesting, you know?
The problem is that you ask 90% of this country what let them eat cake means, and they would have no fucking idea. That's what the problem is with this country, is people are uneducated, they're stupid, they take what they're fed, and they don't look beyond what their limited information is. They don't do it, and that we get the situations that we're in. And we're in this situation. How do you convince
how do you do it? How do you convince them? You take away their food. You make them poorer and poorer, and eventually they're going to get pushed over the edge, which is what happened in England. That's why there was rioting. You know, that's why people are starting to scream. They're starting to act up here. People aren't listening to it. They're just going to send the cops out. Eventually it's going to push them over the edge. And who knows? Maybe eventually the cops will realize that the people that they're protecting are stealing from them.
I can only hope that. But how hard do you have to hit someone over the head with a hammer before they realize they've been hit?
Pretty fucking hard.
I know, and repeatedly.
Well, you have to hit them really hard, and then they have to get conscious again. And then you have to hit them again, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, or four or five times. What I'm really, really hoping for is that this Occupy everything,
yeah.
Wall Street and everything else. I'm hoping that it becomes the 1960s again. I'm hoping it feels like it. But you know what? What the problem is it's just like the bad guys learned so much from the Vietnam War,
right?
About so that when Crowd we were control. In, we were in Iraq, and we didn't see the bodies coming home, and we didn't see all the stuff that we saw in Vietnam. They learned not to show that shit. And so they learned that lesson. And I'm afraid that they learned lessons in the 60s that are going to prevent.
Well, also, the 60s was a failure. I mean, the movement was a failure. I mean, it was a nice try, but it was a failure.
But it made radical steps forward.
Yeah.
I mean, huge civil rights steps were made forward in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And also women's rights and women's sexuality in the 60s. You know, finally it wasn't, you know, the way it was in the 50s. In the 60s, it was like, we're sexual creatures too. We have a right to talk about our bodies and burn our bras and everything else. Those steps were made in the 60s.
Yeah.
And I would just hope that this groundswell. Now, once again, I'm not putting on my Occupy Woodland Hills shirt and going out to the mall, and maybe I should or not flap my gums about it. But I'm hoping desperately that this indeed does start a groundswell of, you know what, we finally we're saying we've had enough.
Right, but also keep in mind that there are things you can do without
putting on a t-shirt.
Yeah, there are things you can do from your chair. Like, for example, and you may already have a credit, getting out, not supporting the institutions that are screwing you.
I'm with a credit union.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so things like that, not being in debt to credit card companies, things like that.
Yep.
You know, there's things you can do, investing in things that aren't toxic and, you know, this kind of stuff. It's not, you know, you don't.
Once again, it's creating.
Going on the street is
world.
Not your only option. It's much easier for young people who don't have anything to lose and who don't have jobs. And I think it's great, and I support that. But I'm just saying there are options for everyone. And we're going to they're starting Occupy Paris tomorrow. Actually, we're going to film it. And it's so funny because what I told Max, and he might use my idea, but I really hope he doesn't because it's a horrible idea. But I said, can we call the coverage Occupy Paris? Something smells fishy here. Because to say Occupy Paris, it's a little different. There's some historical issues with that.
Yeah, just a bit. No shit. Yeah, let's put on our Hitler mustaches and go Occupy Paris.
Yeah, I told my friend Laura that, who's Jewish and whose parents are like Jewish, like long-term Paris Jews.
Oh, God.
She's like, I do not think that's a good idea.
This is a good idea to Occupy Paris again.
Yes, this is not such a good idea. Vichy means things to people.
Oh my God!
Yeah, so they're starting that here. So
let's hope. Let's hope. And that's all there is. You know, there's hope, and I tend to not hope because I can't stand it when my hopes are dashed. And in my lifetime, I think I've had more hopes dashed than fulfilled.
Yeah, but see the problem. Oh wow! Yeah, it's big stuff because. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how hopeful I am really. But I think that it's interesting because 2008 came this huge crisis and nobody understood it. you know, this is why I really, you know, this is part of why I'm so glad to work with Max, because Max has always been he's always been so far ahead of this thing financially, and I've always been kind of years behind him trying to figure out. But, you know, the banks crashed in 2008, all that shit happened, we got bailed out, all this shit. They did this all without anybody knowing the fuck they're talking about. Well, we've had 3 years now to figure out what the fuck they're talking about. Now people are starting to understand. Those kids down there, if you watch the YouTube videos, they know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yep.
What it is very simple. The government took out, and this is in Europe too. This is what's going on here, and in Europe it's actually probably worse. So I might have to come back there. Politically, not politically, financially, the situation is much more dire here.
Oh boy,
it really is. It's much more dire, much closer to the verge of collapse than in America. Because people in Greece, the food prices, they're already on the verge of like famine because of the food prices and stuff like this. But so the thing is though, what happens is governments take the money from people and bail out these huge banks. They just give the banks money. It's that simple. They're just giving the banks shitloads of money, and then they take it and they spend it, and they give themselves bonuses. And it is as simple as that. It sounds ridiculous because it is that simple. After all this, it sounded so complicated, and you had Hank Paulson explaining, oh, we have to do this because it's going to collapse the financial system if we don't bail out the banks. All that meant is the rich people, when they say economy, they just mean that they're talking about the 1%. They're talking about the richest 1%. That's all it is. So when they say the economy is going to crash, it means the richest people might lose some of their millions. That's what it means. Everybody else would be great. So they're just taking, and like what's going on in Europe.
And the more convoluted they can make it sound,
yeah,
it confuses and confounds people.
Right.
And people, once they're confused and confounded, will follow the leader.
Right.
And the leader is taking them right down into the toilet.
It's really simple. Like, okay, so let's say you have a $100,000 credit card bill, right?
Right.
And then you have two options, because we don't have debtors' prisons in the U.S. We will in a few years, I'm sure, but right now we don't. So you could either pay that bill and be a good citizen, and you can pay hundreds and thousands of dollars a month on this fucking debt and never get anywhere. You'll be in debt. You'll be a debt slave. Or you can go bankrupt and say, fuck this. I'm bankrupt. Well, you suffer the consequence of bankruptcy. You have bad credit for a while. But you're free to start over. That is the exact same situation that the banks are doing to us.
Right.
And like Greece, like they just have, you know, they're just trying to make Greece, you know, Europe is saying, no, you have to pay these big banks back, because you owe the banks all this money. What Greece should be saying is, fuck you, we're defaulting, goodbye. Yeah. And that's it. And Brazil did that, like, I think it was like 10 years ago. Brazil defaulted. Now they're one of the top three economies in the world, with China and India. It's fucking what you do. And this is my hope for the movement, that people are starting, we're starting to talk about it on the show we do, is that protesting is nice, but the real way to get at these, to kill these banks, is going to be to hit them where it hurts, is by having mass defaults by these people saying, you know what, fuck you, I'm not paying this bill, rip, I'm not paying my mortgage, rip, and there's not a damn thing they can do about it. That's default, and that's the only way that people like us are going to be saved, I think.
I think it's an option that is looming and may become absolutely necessary, because something has to change. What's going on?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Better be wise to do it soon, because before you know it, it'll be a law.
Oh, of course. And it will pass. And idiots will vote for people who will vote for laws like that. And they're too stupid to realize what they're doing. And it's just, you know, once again, it's magic. It's my when I look forward to the horizon, you know, I see a gigantic reaper with a huge grin on his face. That's what I see on the horizon. So I tend not to look in that direction, because I know it's imminent. I know that's where, you know, the boat is sailing right toward that guy. So while it's sailing toward that guy, what I want to do is I'm going to look off to port and see the nice trees that are on that side of the bank, and know that, short of me hanging my body off the side of that boat and trying to paddle it in a different direction, which won't work, there's no way of stopping it.
Yeah.
Unless everybody in that boat gets together and starts paddling in the opposite direction. But trying to get everybody together to do that, it's, you know, it's why they made unions. because you would unite for a cause. This country will never unite for a cause. This country is so fucking...
But that's what's happening now, though.
Well, what's happening now is the uprising.
Yeah.
And to see this uprising is an incredibly wonderful thing.
Yeah, the morons are just going to be morons.
Oh, they will continue to be morons. And
that's,
then
that's really unique about America. And I really don't... Gosh, there's stupid people everywhere. And there's violent people. And I think... Maybe in the Middle East, it's probably – I haven't spent much time there, and I certainly don't want to. But I have a feeling maybe the Middle East is as stupid as America. Though when I see the – no, I take that back, because then you look at their Arab Spring uprisings, and you see they're really doing stuff. So that's their governments that represent them as these fascist, moronic, religious zealots. You know, I think the idiocy in America is, for some reason, unique.
Well, I can't argue with you on that.
I think it's just fucking – really unique, and I think there's a lot of, idiots.
I think what is rampant is what we talked about before, and that is this sheep mentality. Yeah. I don't want to learn anything different than what you're telling me. And if you spout the words that are my buzzwords, no abortion, no gay marriage, no Obamacare, no socialism. If you spout those loud enough. That means I don't have to do anything but say, you're my man. You're the man.
Right.
And then that man's going to get into a position of power, and it's going to get into a voting position, and it's going to take even more from you. But you're too fucking stupid to realize it. That's what's rampant in our country. That's the stupidity. It's the laziness that is just unbelievably profound.
I think we also have some very dormant, bad, bad, bad fucking karma that we don't deal with as a country. And I will give you an example of the opposite of this, which is Germany's done extremely well lately. It's the only country in Europe that really is doing well right now. And I think part of it is, and all over Europe they've done this too, like even in France, they deal with their past. They've dealt with the skeletons. They have admitted the wrongs they did to the Jews in World War II. They have made reparations. They make museums. They deal with the shit. They are not in denial about it. They've got their crazy motherfucking skinheads that are very scary and dangerous, yes. But the main society has dealt with it. In America, and that's healthy. In France, they have plaques on all these buildings where they took Jews from, and they made them. You know, it's like a sign of shame. They write the names of how many people were taken from this building and that building and that building, because it was very embarrassing with the French allowing all these Jews to be taken away when they were under the fish. But in America, we killed we had a huge genocide that nobody even tells us about in school. We killed millions, millions and millions of Indians, of Native Americans. That country, when Christopher Columbus or whatever his name, whoever the fucker was, got there, there were millions of Indians. And we brought that number down to less than 1 million, way less than 1 million, within a few hundred years. And I was reading about this yesterday because I saw some articles after Columbus Day. Christopher Columbus and his minions, when he was in Hispaniola, you know, which is where the Dominican Republic is, they actually killed children that were Native American children and fed them to their dogs. This is the level of genocide that was committed by our country and our people we came from.
Uh-huh.
We don't deal with it. We don't admit it. We don't teach it in school. And then you have the whole slavery thing, and the racism which comes out of that, which is alive and well and manifested in the death penalty and all kinds of stuff. We don't deal with our demons here. They're growing and making us fatter than fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
I'm
that's part of it. I mean, you know, I certainly don't think that's it, but that's I think it's part of it.
I think, you know, I don't necessarily believe in the mysticism of karma, but I certainly believe that your actions have consequences.
Yeah.
All of your actions, whatever they are, have consequences.
Well, that's why I'm a miserable cunt.
Uh-huh. You know, once again, it goes
absolutely
without saying. But so there is that sense of karmic justice and karmic revelation. And you still will not hear. I mean, good God, the fact that we are still a nation of bigots.
Yeah.
And that the southern part of this country is still raising Confederate flags in their neighborhood because they're proud of their heritage.
And don't forget Rick Perry's rock, his farm named Niggerhead. Hello.
Well, you know what? Once again, you will never go broke underestimating or overestimating the stupidity of the American people, whatever that quote is. Ignorance and stupidity.
Well, at least we know Herman Cain won't win.
That's right. Although, you know, if it's free pizza, if you vote, you never fucking know.
Oh, God, yeah, that's true. Oh, well. Well, that's a happy discussion.
Yes. And I have absolutely nothing else, my darling. Do you have any questions for me?
No.
I didn't think so.
I don't care about other people.
Okay.
No, I hope we can do this again soon. I am. It's like 1:18 in the morning, so I got to wind down because we're going camera shopping in the morning for Operation Fishy Swaz or whatever it's called.
Uh-huh.
Then I'm going to Ireland. We're traveling. We're going on the road next month, so it's going to be crazy. I'm going to Ireland. I've never been there. And then I'm going to, what's that country? Prague with the porn.
Just suck it up. I'm not even being funny. I mean, yeah. You're young still, and even though you're an old lesbian, you know, you're young, and you still, your body can move, and yeah.
Enjoy it.
I understand. Trust me, Madge.
Yeah.
Believe me, you're preaching to the choir about talking about just having a personality of depressive blackness, yeah. Because that's where I live. I am a depressive black person, so I understand. Black person. Wednesday.
Shortening.
That's it, mama. Little baby. Oh, God. So I really understand it, but I also know that there's going to be moments of absolute magic. I mean, the fact that you're just going to Ireland and to see all that gorgeous green that's fucking everywhere, it's just, you know, just let it absorb it through your skin and still bitch about it. You know, that's good. Bitch and do. And as far as doing this again, I would love to. You just let me know when you need a guest that'll talk. And I would love to do this again.
Need a guest, period. Somebody other than Rachel.
Yeah, well, you know, Rachel's. Well, what about Cheryl, darling? And I don't have the Cheryl Murkowski thing to play.
Cheryl's got a husband now. She doesn't have time for me anymore.
I didn't know that.
She's getting felched.
Yeah. I did not know that Cheryl.
She's filling up that cunt.
Got married. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, when you need me, call me.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for being on.
My pleasure. Fun.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.